Lots of unions did divest the pension funds and so on from South Africa. But if it came down to perhaps saying to a company, you've got this contract, South Africa, we won't, we won't work on this this order. But that didn't happen. They wouldn't do that. They wouldn't do that. In the 1960s, for example, one of the shipyards in Aberdeen, a small shipyard, not a huge shipyard, but nevertheless, it was an important source of employment. And they had an order for 6 trawlers for a South African company. And I had, at the same time, I'd managed to get a motion through the Aberdeen Town Council, because I was a councillor at the time, that we wouldn't buy any South African produce, because we're a big buyer of stuff for schools and all sorts of things. And the South Africans threatened to withdraw the contract unless this motion was abandoned by the city council. And the press went down and saw the shipyard workers, never mind the unions. And they said, well, we're building a ship, it's our livelihood, we've built these trawlers. And I went down and spoke to them, and they said, okay, we understand what you're doing politically, but we have a livelihood, so you can understand that. And I went, it's curious now, the Conservative government had decided that trade unions, if they wanted to affiliate to the Labour Party or have political fund, then they had to have a special resolution to do so. And I was a member of the engineering union, and I went down to a factory in Hatfield which made aero engine parts, and I spoke very much in favour of having a political fund. And the chairman of the meeting, there were several hundred people at the meeting, said, it's very important that we have a political fund in the union. And that union MPs, because there's some silly bugger in the parliament trying to stop us selling airplane parts to South Africa. No, it was me. And some of the people in the audience who knew who I was, who rolled their eyes in the air. So of course these tensions were there. And there were tensions, of course, certainly with the Labour government in 1970, between 74 and 79, partly over Southern Rhodesia, which had declared UDI, and we wanted British government to, send troops in. It was a rebellion against the Crown. I'm a monarchist, but, and of course they wouldn't do it, because Harold Wilson, the Prime Minister, perceived it would be electorally to his disadvantage to send troops in against what was known as British kith and kin. Don't know what the Swedish equivalent is for your family abroad, the economy of Britain at the time was such that South Africa was an important customer. There were tensions. But then there were other tensions as well. You see, the idea of boycotting South African goods and of disinvesting from South Africa was not an easy policy to win even on the left. Initially, some of the left, some of the Trotskyist groups, argued that you could only get change in South Africa if you built up an industrial society and then the proletariat and all the story. And so they were in favour of investment as being the only way to bring about change. Now, from their point of view, it was a respectable argument, but the idea that there was a uniform belief from the day that it was first suggested that the boycott of South African goods should become disinvestment, these were long, drawn-out battles, very fierce battles, very fierce arguments. And that, I think, isn't to the detriment of the anti-apartheid movement and those people who wanted to bring apartheid down, I think it shows how strong we had to be to get where we did get to.